Welcome to the Devonth Dimension. Super excited to introduce you to Forrest B. Wilson and this juicy episode on ending the war with yourself. This is specifically for men, but I think women will find a lot of value in listening to this and really taking a totally new perspective on integration and men's work from Forrest. And we were having a conversation not too long ago, and he mentioned the circadian rhythms of our different parts and how this can lead to self-sabotage. So I was really excited to dive into this today. Forrest is a visionary entrepreneur and conscious leader whose story is as inspiring as it is illuminating. From navigating existential crises to founding educational nonprofits and co-creating ventures that redefine societal paradigms, Forrest's journey traverses both mystical realms and entrepreneurial landscapes. Through encounters with mentors, mystical experiences in exotic locales, and a deep commitment to personal growth, Forrest has emerged as a beacon of possibility and embodiment. Join us as we explore the insights, challenges, and wisdom gleaned from Forrest's extraordinary odyssey, and invite you to embark on your own journey towards embracing your true nature and purpose. If you want to find out more about what Forrest is doing in the world and with our emerging future, you can go to ouremergingfuture.com. Enjoy.
I'm so excited to have Forrest B. Wilson here on this experience. Man, I'm just going to dive into your background a little bit, give you a little intro, set the stage. I see you, one, like the first thing that comes to mind, just your background is like as a captain of sports, as a leader early on. You said you were giving golf lessons to, you know, when you were like 11 years old to older guys, captains of sports teams. You know, this guy has a background in startup culture, successful startups, corporate and global finance, and then took a deep dive into a spiritual journey. And, you know, I'm just stoked to have you on, bro.
Thanks. It's good to be here. And what about your background? Dev lived in a monastery, grew up on the East Coast, born and raised. Dropping bars on the mic.
That's right.
Freestyle rapping.
Yeah, you know, I've had a journey myself in personal development and spirituality. And what I'm super excited to dive in today is kind of this crossroads or this kind of blend between personal development, spirituality, and men's work. And how, you know, especially the alpha male content that's out there. And I was having a discussion with Forrest around, you know, we think about guys like David Goggins and, you know, a lot of guys out there just being really tough on themselves. And so I'm really excited to hear your take on, you know, men's work, on integration, on healthy masculine embodiment and kind of the future of that. So, yeah, I guess I'll set the stage with, you know, the conversation I was having with you and this kind of light bulb that went off about the circadian rhythms of our inner parts and different aspects of ourselves. So I'm really curious how you came to that conclusion and that discovery. And I'll just let you take it from there.
Yeah, beautiful. So for anyone listening, number one, Dev and I like to laugh and have a good time. So you might notice that we bring a lot of play to the sincerity of these topics. And we also bring a lot of sincerity to our play. So we might be laughing and cutting up. And we got a real passion for these lines of exploration. So, I used to say this quote a lot, take your work seriously, but not yourself. It's something like that. It's like have a good time while you're doing good things and exploring good stuff. So, yeah, so you and I met in Puerto Rico a few months ago. We got to live in Skyway, a conscious community together. It's sort of like an incubator. And while we were there, one of the things we were bonding about, just to give context for your question for folks, was parts work. If anyone's familiar with Richard Schwartz, Internal Family Systems, if you're familiar with Kim Barda, if you're familiar with Alexander Love, if you're familiar with any kind of parts work, inner world work, You might know that any individual, Forest, Dev, any of you listening, are actually a collective, a community. And so we have this inner world, inner collective of parts, right? Like the happy one, the sad one, the joyful one, the manager, right? We have all these different kinds of parts. And one of the things that we've been talking about, Dev and I, is masculinity. And what's it called? The manosphere, this subsection of the internet, like Joe Rogan, David Goggins, Andrew Tate, Jocko Willink, a few other people. There's these kind of, I don't know what you call them, like archetypes of masculinity in 2024?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about the way that these guys talk to people and the kind of advice that's promoted. So, for example, you know, if you watch videos with Andrew Tate or if you watch videos with David Goggins or Joe Rogan, you'll often hear language like, you know, my inner bitch, for example, is a very common phrase that's said. And there's this thing of like, I have to conquer my inner bitch. I have to tell my inner bitch to shut the fuck up. I have to make myself do things I don't want to do. And what we've been talking about is how much, like I, as a coach and as a facilitator and someone who supports a lot of young men, I see the consequences of this kind of guidance or this kind of psychology and how it wreaks havoc on men in our culture and our society. Like I have guys who come to me all the time. I mean, for years now, guys who come to me and they're like, man, I'm such a bitch. Like I'm such a faggot. I'm a pussy. Like I can't do anything. I set these goals and I can't do any of them. Like I think I'm gay. Like, no, no, no. And it's like, and it's not. And when someone says, I think I'm gay, it's not because of their sexuality. It's because like I set goals to build my business and then I watch Netflix. So therefore I'm a homosexual, like because of what these guys in culture say.
Uh huh.
And so I'm sitting here and going, you know, maybe it might be helpful to shed some light on some of the psychology that we're dealing with and some of the consequences that this kind of, I don't know what you would call it, this kind of messaging, let's call it messaging, this kind of messaging is causing. And so the first thing is, there's a recognition that we're a multiple. And so you could imagine, In an inner collective, somehow when I say, like when Joe Rogan says, I have to conquer my inner bitch, or when David Goggins says that something along those lines, everybody's like, yeah, I have to conquer my inner bitch. Or like, I have to tell my inner bitch to shut up and we're going to get it done. But it's like, can you imagine if that happened in an outer collective? Like if Dev and I were sitting next, imagine we're all in a big room together and Dev and I here are sitting next to each other and Dev's like, man, I'm tired. I just want to relax and watch TV. And I'm like, you fucking faggot, get up and do 100 push-ups. Like everybody be like, what the actual fuck is going on right now? This is totally not okay. Who do you think you are talking to Dev like that? Like, what in the world, bro? Like, do you need something? Right? Like
you need a chill pill, bro.
Yeah. Do you need a... So yeah, what's up? Go ahead.
Well, to exaggerate that question is like imagine a little kid, you know, it's like, hey, you're a toddler, 7-8 year old, it's like, I just want to take a nap, and you know the dad's like, stop being a fucking pussy bitch and take 100 more swings on that tee, or you know, run 100 more sprints or something like that. And that's kind of what I see when people are saying inner bitch. It's kind of like their inner kid or their inner child.
Yeah, it oftentimes is. It oftentimes is. And so we just, I mean, obviously, if anybody's listening, if you're anything like me, you might just have this huge surge of compassion run through your body and go like, whoa, you know, there's got to be another way. And as someone, I mean, I am a, how old am I now? 32, I think. As a 32-year-old man, I went through, in my 20s, I really went through a tough time with this because I had listened to these mentors, listens to these older guys and the way they talk, and I'm like, oh, these guys are the successful ones. This is how I should orient. These are the kinds of things I should do. And it just wreaked havoc on my nervous system, on my psychology. It was awful. And, you know, if you are somebody, like, let me tell you what happens a lot as like a symptom of this kind of thing. It's like you might be somebody who sets a really intense workout regimen. Like, I'm going to get up and do P90X every single day, twice a day, right? For the next 90 days. Or I'm going to do, what are some of these really intense regimens? What's the one where you work out twice? You have to do two workouts hard a day. Yeah, 75 yep. hard. I'm going to do 75 hard. Or I'm going to run whatever. I'm going to train for a marathon. Like, so you pick this like very ambitious, intense thing. Or I'm going to like build a $1 million business this month, right? I'm going to fast for 14 days. Like, you just pick this like incredibly intense program or protocol to put yourself on. And no alcohol, no sugar, no carbs, no dairy, no TV, no social media. It's like, I'm going to just go like hardcore at this goal, no distraction for anything. And then what you might notice is maybe it's day one, maybe it's day 10, maybe it's 2 weeks in, whatever. All of a sudden, you're eating a whole tub of ice cream or binge watching Netflix or on a 6-hour social media binge or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't know. And then it's like, what happened, right? I set this really intense thing and I didn't do it. And so what we do is, what a lot of people do is double down on that strategy. We go, oh my God, I'm being a bitch. I'm being a pussy. Whatever. So now I need to recommit. I need to make an even harder workout plan. I need to let go of even more things that bitches and pussies do. Like, maybe I didn't cut out sugar before, but now I'm going to cut out sugar because that's the problem, is the sugar, right? Like, that's the thing that's...
Yeah, clearly.
Exactly. That's the thing that's destroying my life. And so then we get in this cycle, and I just see so many people do this. It's like, you know, I'm going to give up alcohol, and then there's like, since that gets walled off in the back bedroom, then it's like 5 days later, I drank 3 bottles of wine, right? It's like this thing gets repressed and then it comes roaring out. And like, we can really hurt ourselves, whether it's like eating a whole tub of ice cream or drinking 3 bottles of wine, whatever it is. And so basically, like, this doesn't work, but yet we continue to like, the strategy is do it. It doesn't work. Then we go double down, watch more David Goggins videos, listen to more pump up motivational stuff, like get ourselves psyched up, hit things even harder until we basically like spin out. And people spend years. I've had clients who spend years in this cycle. And so when you and I were talking about this, the thing that I said that was the light bulb moment for you, it sounds like, was that this is two different aspects of our psychology, right? So you have the like David Goggins part, for a lack of a better way to put it, the part who's going like, I'm going to be the man and build this business and do these 75 hard workouts and everything. And then you have this other part that's labeled by that David Goggins part, the inner bitch. But like you said, it might be our inner child. It might be the part of us that just likes to relax and have fun. Whatever age it is, it might be 3, it might be 17, it might, whatever. For different people, it's going to be different. And so the problem is, the big illumination, the big aha moment, is that the reason this is happening is each one of these parts, like any human being, has a circadian rhythm. And what that means is that the part of us, the David Goggins part, comes out with quite a bit of gusto and quite a bit of energy and says all these things. And at some point, whether it's, like I said, day one, day 5, 2 weeks in, that part goes to sleep. And then the other part that it's been judging and labeling as a bitch and condemning and saying it's not allowed and has to be killed, right? People talk a lot about killing your ego. It's a very common thing to say. That part that's been walled off in the back bedroom, that's been in the back corridor of our psyche, when the Jocko Willink voice, when the David Goggins voice goes to sleep, it comes out. And that's the part that's eating a tub of ice cream and eating a tray of brownies and drinking three bottles of wine. And then it goes back to sleep and the David Goggins one wakes up and goes, what the fuck happened? Right. Uh-huh. And the problem is the David Goggins voice doesn't have the answer because it's not that part that's doing the thing. It's like, and so we think, because we don't recognize we're a collective, we think that we're this one dominant ego state. We think we're the David Goggins part. That's not who we are. It's one aspect of us. And so we're looking for the answer. This is how we spend years and years and years in these deeply devotional warrior things that aren't working, because we triple down into the David Goggins part, not realizing that it doesn't have the answer. In order to get the answer, we need to go find that part that's getting walled off in the back bedroom of the psyche, which, if you're anything like me, when you initially discover it, that part doesn't have any interest in interfacing with the David Goggins part. It's like, yo, that dude's fucking crazy. Like, what? I don't want to talk to him. Like, I mean, can you imagine? You're like,
this is not a safe space.
Yeah, totally. You're like, yo, hang, wherever that guy is, I am not. Right? Like, swerve. And so we really have to do a lot of, there's like repair that needs to be done inside of our psyche to create us. A way that, you know, we can orient from the deeper aspect of our true nature and holding both of these parts from unconditional love and seeing what is it they need and being around each other. How are they in relationship with each other? And then what's the dynamic that starts to unfold? And that is the very beginning of a process of starting to enter into more wholeness and cohesiveness where we're not so fragmented inside of ourself. And so I could talk about that process, but if you skip to the end of that process, what has happened for me, I'll just speak on a personal note, is not feeling so fragmented anymore, these two parts being unified. And now I'm not setting super insane workout regimens, and I'm also not crashing and eating things and wondering why. There's just a kind of fluidity and a flow and a pervasive peacefulness and vibrancy as we walk through the world. So it's kind of like the war is over and we're just having a nice time now. What a vida, baby. We're in Costa Rica.
God. Yeah. I like you said, people will go through that process for years, and I can see that. I can see that happening. And that's why it, like when you mentioned it, I was so struck by it and was like, I could really see people, because I myself have been stuck in this, you know, because I personally like this kind of content. I like Joe Rogan. I like David Goggins. I like the idea of pushing myself beyond my comfort zone. But the key is that this self-sabotaging aspect, which is not really self-sabotage. It's actually that war. It's a war going on. So I am curious about the process, if you at least want to touch on it and just give a taste of it for people listening, because, it's like, all right, cool. I have these two parts. I have the David Goggins parts. I've experienced this where, like, I set these high goals and then, yeah, I'm eating the whole bag of cookies. I'm just sabotaging it. So what would be a good first step for people to kind of start ending this war within themselves?
Okay, first step. You just said the line, I like pushing myself. So that's a split. There's I and there's myself.
Mm-hmm.
So you might ask yourself, well, how is it for myself to be pushed by I?
That's great. That's good. And that's where the war is happening.
It can be, Deb. I mean, look, like you and I push each other a little bit. Like, we ran sprints together every single day when we were in Puerto Rico. We were freestyling raps in the kitchen every day. We lean into each other a little bit, but it's it's coming from a good place, and it's talked about, it's explicitly agreed to. So it can be like, hey, I like to push myself, and myself might be like, yeah, I love getting pushed a little bit. And now we got two people who are working on a team, and we're bringing out the best in each other. The challenge is, when most people are saying, I like to push myself, the reason I ask, it like, well, how does self like to be pushed by I? How is that experience for self? Most people have never asked that question. Most people have never checked. But for a lot of people, self goes like, bro, will you leave me the fuck alone? Please?
Fuck
God off. Damn. Yeah, yeah, truly. It's like, will you just stop it? Like, I'm just trying to fucking have a nice time over here and like have a milkshake or something and like enjoy the view. Like, get out of here. And so that's why I'm asking genuinely, how is it for self to be pushed by I? Because, like, you know, if you're guys like us, you might actually genuinely enjoy creating moments and creating context where we can push each other a little bit. It's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's explicitly agreed to, and it comes from a good place, and it feels good, and we're consenting to this process. So check, right? Is it something that self is enjoying when I is pushing? Or is self like, hey, I didn't sign up for this and I don't like it. I feel bullied. I feel degraded. I feel like I'm being picked on, right? So like, where, how is it for self to be pushed by I?
For whatever reason, my mind goes immediately to the language we're using to maybe push past our discomfort. You know, it's very different. And this is delivery, communication. It's very different to say, come on, you pussy, like, get up. We have to go for a run versus like, hey, man, you said that you wanted to do this. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But, you know, we made an agreement and I'm just encouraging you to maybe push through this a little bit and maybe just do half of what you said you wanted to do. Or, you know, and then this gets into keeping promises to ourselves. And as a way to build self-confidence and to build integrity. And so in my mind, I'm like, yeah, what's that middle way? What's that integration? So that's what I'm sitting with.
Yeah, totally. So I don't know if you're going to, if listeners, if you're audio only, I'm holding up my two hands, right? Like I got my left hand and my right hand because we have two parts here. So oftentimes I can demonstrate like one part talking and the other part talking. So if you're on video, you'll see this. But if you're on audio, just know that I'm using my two hands to demonstrate when the David Goggins part is talking and when the inner child or the other part is talking, right? The self-sabotage part. The inner bitch is what it's often called. Or like we were just talking about I and self, right? So there's two different parts. Now, one thing to notice is a lot of times, as you were just saying, Dev, let's say it's I who's talking, is saying, hey, we made this commitment to do na-na-na-na. We made this commitment to run sprints, blah, blah, blah. Don't you want to at least get it done? And the key is we have to be really, like, if you're working with a skilled practitioner, they're going to be able to see which part is talking. And as we continue to do this work, we're going to start to notice, what's it like to be in one part? What's it like to be in the other part? What's it like to hold both parts and observe them, right? Not being either one, but just notice how they are together. So I can be in one part, I can be in the other, or I can hold the two and see how their dynamic is. Now, the challenge is when in these dynamics, what's usually happening is we have one who's the dominant, right? And so it oftentimes will speak on behalf of the other one. And so we really need to check, is I answering on behalf of self, or is self really getting to speak? Because we can have a situation where I's going, hey, we committed to running sprints, we committed to doing this thing, blah, blah, blah. Don't you want to at least do it? And if we actually let self talk, self might say, hey, bro, I never signed up for that. You did. Right? And now you're telling me I signed up for something that I didn't. You're telling me I need to hold accountability to something, or I might be out of integrity something that I never signed up for. And this has nothing to do with me. Like, I don't want any part of this. This is you, bro. Right? And so it's like, who's talking? We really start to develop this capacity to understand which part's talking. And are both sides getting a turn at the mic? Or is one part doing all the talking for everybody? And what we really want to do is give both a chance to be seen, to see each other and be seen by each other, and to feel each other and be felt by each other. I could make this a little bit more complex by talking about whether or not these parts of us are heterarchical or hierarchical. I don't know if we need to go there right now, but I just want to name that as a piece as well that's here.
What were those two terms?
Heterarchical, like egalitarian, or hierarchical, meaning like in a lot of ways, self is like a nested doll. And so we can sometimes have splits, but they're between different dimensions of our being. They're not egalitarian splits. They're not heterarchical splits.
I mean, that sounds interesting if you want to touch on that for sure.
Yeah. Let's see if we circle back to it. I want to stick with the issues in this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, like, you know, I'm just thinking of an example that you can think of either in your personal life or in a work you've done with a client where, like, they had that conversation, what that looked like. You know, I'm thinking about the empty chair technique, where, you know, you kind of have two chairs, and you sit in one, speaking as, say, the David Goggins voice, and then you move over to the other chair, and you speak to that David Goggins character within yourself as whatever it is, your inner child, that guy that just wants to chill, relax, have a good time. And have that back and forth. And if you've never done this before, it can feel weird at first, but like a couple minutes in, you can get pretty absorbed in it, and it can be very revealing what happens. So yeah, I'm curious if you can give an example.
Yeah, it's a common practice in what's it called? Gestalt? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Gestalt. Yeah. Gestalt. It's like I know what this is. I don't know how I can say. Gestalt is it's a practice common to use these chairs and get the different aspects of our psyche and in relationship with each other. So the most important thing in this is to be able to be in relationship with these different aspects of ourselves from wholeness, from soul. Richard Schwartz calls it, I'm pretty sure he calls it self, but capital S self. Mm-hmm. Kim Barda calls it the unconditionally loving witness. Mm. Alexander Love calls it usually wholeness. But it's coming from our true nature to be in relationship with these parts. So what you'll find, like with IFS, for example, is there's a practice where you say, okay, I have these two parts. Let's say it's the David Goggins part and the inner child. How do I feel towards these parts? Well, I feel frustrated. These two won't get along. No. Okay. Is this part willing to step aside? Right. So now we got three parts. We got the part that's frustrated in addition to David Goggins, blah, blah, blah. Okay. How do I feel towards these three? Well, I feel annoyed. This is taking so long. I'd rather be doing something else. Okay. Is this part willing to unblend from self and step aside? Now I got four parts here. How do you feel towards these parts? Oh, well, I'm just like, can't everybody get along? This is so annoying. What do I have to do to fix this? Okay, is this part willing to step aside? Now I got five parts. And at some point we hit the deeper nature of ourself, and you'll just feel it in the nervous system. It just emanates through, right? It's like, how do you feel towards these parts? Oh my God, I feel so much love. Like, look at all these beautiful people, right? Like, I wonder what's going on for them. Like, how can I be here for you all? It's like curiosity, compassion, interest, love. Like, these qualities just exude through our whole being. And it's like, okay, this is the place that we need to orient from to be in relationship with all of our parts. So that's the most important step in all of this, is being able to get to the place of, let's actually come from wholeness and soul as we interact with all of our parts. And then you can just notice, what's it like for these parts to be held by wholeness, to be held by soul? That can already be a kickoff, a deeply healing and transformational process in and of itself. I love you exactly as the way you are. without needing you to be any different, et cetera, right? It's just like unconditional love, unconditional presence, unconditional care, never not here. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, like how healing it is for me to access the true nature of who we all are and how healing it is for all these different aspects of our psyche. So that's step one in the process, right?
I love that, because that's the question I was going to ask you, right? Is like how to get in touch with that unconditional loving witness. I love that term, because that's a part that most people don't have touch with, right? So it's like it's just the war. They're just used to the war. I'm a bitch. No, I'm gonna fucking run 70. But like, so you know, this is where that kind of, you go from, in my mind, personal development to what one could just say spirituality. Let's just call it that, where you're tapping into, you know, this unconditional loving witness. And so what if someone's like, unconditional loving witness, like, what are you talking about? Like, how do I tap into that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that was just the invitation, right? It's so I'm saying this and I'm telling people what you can do. And like if you want support with this, right? Like, I mean, I'm naming people, right? You can look up Kim Barta. You can look up Alexander Love. You can book sessions with me. There's people in the world who are practitioners of this kind of work. So it's not like you need to take what I'm saying and then go figure it out all by yourself, right? Number one. But number two, if somebody is saying that and hearing that, it's like what someone's going to do is support you through a process of, because when we're asking that question, we're identified as a part. We think we are that voice who's talking, but that's just one dimension of us. This is the thing that we really don't get when we first start this work, is like, I am the David Goggins person inside myself. I am the one who sets goals and commits to them. Like, that's what I am. That's my identity.
Yes.
And at some point in development, we switch from this dominant I to the next one, which is actually, I'm this collective, right? I'm the fearful one, and I'm the David Goggins one, and I'm the one who writes music. I'm the artist, right? I'm all these different ones. I'm a collective. That's a developmental shift to go from the dominant I to actually being part, like, I'm a collective, I'm a multiple. And even later in that is, I'm a complex self-adaptive system, right? Like, once we start to do this work and all these parts get in relationship with each other, and we start to create a culture in our inner world and start to say, how do we all get our needs met, and how do we all get along, and how do we work together to get everything we want? It's like, oh, actually, I'm this system. I'm all these different things working together that's evolving, working with like all these different aspects of myself working together as one cohesive unit, this system of systems, right? Like that's actually a later stage experience of this in development. Okay, I'm going to pause. How's this to hear?
That's awesome, dude. I love that. I really love that. And what I was really impressed by when we were in Puerto Rico is just your capabilities and your skills at developing culture, or at least having, you know, the tools and techniques to create a super healthy culture, whether that's in a group of five people, whether that's in a corporation, you know, like bring this guy, you know, get this guy in there, because you've obviously done that work internally. You know, so it's that internal management, that internal, you know, we're having meetings with all these different parts. And I feel like you've come to a place within yourself where you feel, you know, you're the, you know, the chair of the board of the inner parts, and that you feel a cohesiveness within your being. And so then how do you bring that outwards to a, you know, community or a group?
Well, the chair of the board of the parts is soul. The chair of the board of parts is wholeness. That's the leader, is wholeness, it's soul, it's our true nature. That's the chair of the board. And so and when you're talking about culture, it's like, what I feel so excited to share with people is like, you know, I have been doing shadow work and parts work in a deep way for, I don't even know, 6 years now or something. I mean, like, it's a devotional practice, truly. And what I want to shed light on is like way later than what we're talking about, like way later than when you first become aware of the David Goggins and the inner child and this really rough dynamic, right? At some point we start to access the truth of who we are and hold these different parts of unconditional love. And then we support all these different parts to have a turn at the microphone and share how, like, every single one of these parts is trying to help. Every single one of these parts has the positive intention. Richard Schwartz says a lot, there are no bad parts, right? So what needs to happen for all these different parts to share how they're trying to help, to be seen in their essence, which is not separate from wholeness, which is actually the illusion that these parts are separate from the whole, right? We've never not been whole. Connecting to that essence, creating the experience that we want to have, starting to work together. And then there's this experience that I'm having lately, which is like, there's all these parts that have been in the back bedroom, kind of like scared because of the crazy, crazy stuff that was going on in my psyche and my inner world. And heck, they're like all opening the doors now. And they're like, all right, I've seen enough reps of this happen, of what happens when something comes out. And I see the culture. I see what it's like in this world now. Like when you come out, what I see is when you come out here into the light of shared awareness into this inner world with these villages of forest, right? Like I used to call it the United Nations of Forest, or this collective of forest. You're seen, you're heard, you're loved, you're asked what you need, you're supported to get your needs met and to grow. Like, there's a generative updraft with momentum and love that's like, all the parts are like, we don't have to hide anymore. Like, let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. We can come out here. Like, this is a safe place. This is a loving place. This is a compassionate place. So it's like all the floodgates open. Everybody comes out. It's like, okay, finally.
It's like, I actually do want to go for a run.
Right. Oh, totally. Totally.
The sun's out versus like, nah, fuck you, dude. Even if I wanted to run, I'm not going to go run. Because you're being a total asshole.
Yeah. And it's amazing how much that's our fear, right? It's like, well, if I stop being David Goggins and I let these other voices talk, I'm just going to like lie around and eat Doritos all day and never do anything. And it's like, I mean, maybe for a little bit. I mean, maybe. And in my experience, both with myself and my clients, the more that we do this work of letting all the voices talk and see and be in relationship, the more we start to create complex self-adaptive systems that are very generative, and where these qualities of vibrancy and aliveness and peacefulness and vitality and health are just emanating and pouring through the system. And so it's like, I mean, some days it's like, oh, we could go to the gym, and it's like, eh, kind of tired. And that's just okay. There's no beating anybody up. There's no nothing. It's like, yeah, it's just kind of tired. Let's just kick it. Let's relax and do nothing. Let's just lie around in the sun and look at the plants. And there's some days where it's like doing nothing takes you to the gym and you have a really great workout and run sprints. I mean, like I said, Deb and I run sprints, right? Like, all kinds of stuff gets done. But this whole like beating yourself up and having to manipulate yourself and force yourself into evolution, like, evolution's happening all the time, people. There's the evolutionary impulse is permeating through all of reality in every moment. So we can really passionately get on board with that and be a part of it. And we don't have to force ourselves to evolve because evolution's already happening. So once the war stops, we can connect to this state of like peaceful vibrancy and just chill and let evolution take care of itself. I could say more. I'm going to stop. What's happening for you?
That's another thing, is like, another thing that I really took notice of was, one, the relaxation and your circadian rhythm of like, I'm actually going to lay down for 2 hours and deeply relax are undefined. Like, I'm just going to lay down and relax deeply. And then maybe it's like, boom, you're on the computer, you're doing stuff. And then it's like a sprint, but it's not coming from a place of you're forcing that upon yourself. Like you were mentioning, you're just listening deeply and you're letting that, it's like you're being pulled versus pushed. So that, yeah. That was another thing. Cause like, you know, as a guy that's in that mind state of like, I need to go, go, go. Like, you're not going to give yourself that space to rest and really recover. It's like, no, I got to push more. Right.
Yeah. And like spoiler alerts are really helpful in this process. So spoiler alert, one of the things is if you have been at war inside of yourself, like what's the nervous system state when we're at war? Fight or flight, sympathetic. So if we actually start doing this work and these wars stop and where our nervous system ceases to like have these conflicts going on, we're going to enter states of recovery. Recovery oftentimes looks like fever. It looks like sweating. It looks like sleeping a lot. It looks like eating a lot. There's literally like, if you have been at war, like the way we have been talking about inside yourself, there is going to be a deep process of recovery. So please understand that. Like, I have so much, there's so much energy that I have for doing things, but I have like, I mean, when I first started solving these things, it was like, there were months where I didn't do anything except for eat and sleep and take salt baths and just like chill and do nothing, like nothing. And that was so hard to do, especially somebody coming out of startup culture and like the hustle and being an athlete, like all these things. There's so much about push, push, grind, hustle. Like, I had so much of that and it was terrifying for me to let all that go. And I'm like, am I really just going to let myself lie around all the time and not do anything? And it's so important because it's a regeneration process. We are regenerating the nervous system on a cellular level in our tissues, in our nervous system. We are letting ourselves be recreated. Like, you might notice if you're living like this that you feel a little bit dehydrated. And I'm not talking about water. I'm talking about the juice of life. I'm talking about spiritually. Like, you just like, do you ever just feel exhausted and like, I can't push myself anymore? Like, that is a deep invitation to quit it and to relax. And what's on the other side of that, what you're speaking to, and this, again, we're talking about like, I mean, potentially years of work of regeneration, like jumping in the ocean, being in the sun, eating a bunch of food, resting, regeneration. What's on the other side of that is a very natural, pervasive energy level where we're able to move through life without pushing ourselves or forcing. We're being moved.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess I have two questions. It's like, one, what would you suggest to people that don't have maybe that luxury to take number of months off? And two, you know, because it's very counterintuitive to that David Goggins character, that you will get more done by relaxing, by being. So, I mean, I guess it's as simple as trust the process, you know, but it's like, how would you communicate to that David Goggins character? You know, you're coming from that place of soul, and the soul is saying you need to rest and recover and regenerate. And David Goggins is going, no way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I've never met David Goggins in person. And
I'm talking about the inner part.
Yeah. Well, and everyone, yeah. I just want to be careful because everyone's inner part's going to be different. So I don't want to template this thing. Okay. What I would do is I would genuinely ask, how's it going for you? Whether that's David Goggins in external reality or your inner David Goggins, I'd say, how's this going? Genuinely. Mm. And what I see with a lot of my CEOs, for example, who are clients, is there's so much orientation to the future, right? There's like, well, it's going great. You know, I'm like, we're at 20K a month right now. We just need to do these things and we'll be at 40K a month, blah, blah. It's like, okay, so that's like where you're going to be in the future. But I'll just ask the question again. So how is it going right now? Right. Like, there's a real living in a story of like when I there's this thing, right? When I just get there, everything will be okay. When I just get there, it'll finally X, it'll finally Y. And it's like, well, how's it going now? Like how, like when you get to the present moment, in this moment right now, how's this going for you? And that's when you usually people will just have some eruption. I mean, truly, because it's like that story of the future that we're going to get to, that things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. When we like come out of that for a second and we actually feel our feelings, because usually in that we're in a, we're ejected from the nervous system. We're living in a story and we're being fueled by this thing. And so when there is finally a moment of presence and we come into the body and we actually feel how we're feeling, we're like, oh my God. And then people will just erupt. I'm not saying that's what has to happen, but it's a very common experience I see with my CEOs.
And by erupt, do you mean like an unraveling, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, totally. Like it's like, a moment of presence, right? Coming out of all that and having one moment of like feeling the way I actually feel, not being numbed, not being dissociated, not being ejected, but actually like right here, right now, just having a moment of actually feeling the body, actually feeling feelings. And then it'll be like, well, here's all this stuff that's going on, but isn't, how do I language this? Like, here's all this stuff that's here in every moment, but isn't being able to flow, essentially. Like, and you can see it because a lot of people, and it's crazy to me, like, this is what's so challenging is we live in a world where you can run on a completely dysregulated nervous system and be very functional in terms of what conventional reality says is successful. Like, you can work all night and all day, have no contact with your body, and build a very successful business, grow a company, scale, hire people. And it looks like on paper, things are going really well. But when you're next to this person, it's like there's tornadoes happening next to you, or like this person's getting dragged down the road by a freight train. Mm-hmm. And you can just feel that. I mean, their whole system's like, and it's like, and you know, and there's sometimes this, like, people who are in fight or flight, right? Their eyes are jumping everywhere, looking for threat. So you can see, like, when I first meet someone who's in this state, their eyes are bouncing all over the place and they're looking for a threat. Their system's like, no, 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 because they're in fight or flight. Breathing is very, very shallow. They're not swallowing. There's no saliva in their mouth. Like, there's very obvious signs of a parasympathetic nervous system. There's very obvious signs of sympathetics. Mm. And so when you see people who are in the state and there's just a moment of like something clears, even just a small thing, and there's a moment of relaxation, it can just open the floodgates sometimes. And people are like, oh my God. Right? Grief, relief. On.
Well, Forrest, I think we covered a lot, and I don't know if you want to keep going down this road, but I'm curious if people do want to work with you, and you know, if you're feeling super frazzled, maybe on paper you look successful, but inside you're kind of torn up. How can people reach you? What would be the best way for that?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can, Dev mentioned, like, I have my podcast, The Forrest Wilson Experience. If you're wanting to actually get support in this way, the thing I'd recommend is going to ouremergingfuture.com and clicking on Light in Action. That's our group coaching container for exactly this. And what we're inviting here is that actually from where we're coming from, everybody, regulated, grounded, coherent energy coming from soul, being able to emanate peaceful vibrancy in relationship with reality, in a way that we're moving through the world, doing what lights us up, doing what sets us on fire in the best way, where we're not pushing ourselves or beating ourselves up or any of this stuff, living in right here, right now, in this moment, not in the future, in this moment right now, everything's okay. And it's just getting better. To be able to do that while earning 10K or more a month, 10K or more per month, right? Living anywhere you want in the world, enjoying your life, doing things that don't feel like work and being compensated well for it. I threw a retirement party last year because I don't work anymore. I just enjoy my life and I get paid very well, right? Like, this is possible for every human being. Truly, like, it might sound like a revolution, but it's, or it might sound like hippy dippy stuff, but it's like what we need to understand is that we all are inherently valuable and we have so much to bring and contribute in this world. And the support that we need is dropping into the value we are and the gift that we are and being supported to cultivate that and nurture it so that it emanates out of us. And we can't help but show up in the world as the beautiful gift that we are in a way that's supportive to all of life, because that is reality. And everything else that we're doing is a performance. And I'm not saying it doesn't have a positive intention, but we can suspend all that performing and come from soul in relationship with life, in relationship with the marketplace. And so what we're doing here, typically this is seen as an individual journey. The reason I'm inviting you to our Emerging Future and Light in Action is because we're doing something different, which is a collective experience. We're going, hey, 10,000 people or more coming from this place creates an entire new world, an entire new economy. It's usually just me on my personal development journey who's trying to reach this goal or reach this state. But what we're doing is creating a collective resonance field. There are more and more people every day coming from the place I'm speaking to you from right now, which is resourced on all levels in the nervous system, financially, sovereign, in our power, able to be in relationship in functional ways, getting our own needs met, having fun, enjoying our life. Resourced, enabled, empowered, capable. This is the truth of all of us, every single one of us. And so the more of us that are here, the more we start to collectively resonate and create a shared resonance field. And it's a new reality. The world that we all sense is possible, that we all want to see born, it's available to us in this moment from this state of consciousness, from this way of being. And so all you have to do is start hanging out with people who are living from this place. And let it permeate into your cells. Let it permeate into your nervous system to resource you, relax you, recreate you anew so you can walk through the world in this way. And then together, we're embodying the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible that Charles Eisenstein said. We're all walking around literally in heaven on earth. Like the Garden of Eden, right? Heaven is here now. It's a state of consciousness. I don't know if this sounds too woo-woo for people, but I'm just saying.
Fired.
That's how you can come play. Dropping bars. That's how you can come play. And like, yeah, go for it.
I mean, I don't have anything to add to that, bro. Mic drop on that one, man. I love it.
And you already know this listening to me, but just to say it explicitly, I'm not going to sell you anything. If you feel compelled to be a part of this and we can support you, like, I'm happy to have you. And if we're talking and I feel like somebody else is a better fit to serve you, I'm going to introduce you to that person. Mm-hmm. This is part of the emerging way of being, right? We're not coming from the scarcity, not enough, need to survive thing. Like, we are literally releasing survival, fear-based, not enough consciousness out of our system entirely. Entirely, like the entire thing comes up and out of our being and out of our nervous system, and we just come from more than enoughness and everything's okayness.
Yeah, that reminds me, especially on the financial piece, and something that struck me is that you said you started making more money than you ever did when you started relaxing. And that really struck me. And this ties into the whole theme of what we've been talking about, as far as like, you know, there's the driver that's like, you need to work more. No, you can't relax, work out, like work. And just that's, you know, yeah, how has that been for you? Is that working? And then maybe try relaxing a little bit and see what happens.
Yeah. And like, I'm sharing a lot of, I don't know what you call them, insights today, like in invitations, but this is like, I mean, this has been really challenging for me in my own personal journey. I mean, this is so systemically, like it's so, we grow up in this culture and in these systems, like we're swimming in it. We're not even aware of it. And there's so much work of deprogramming and letting go and waking up what's actually true in us. So I'm saying all this because it's like, I mean, you might just need some encouragement, like, hey, life provides. And if you relax and sink into the everything's okayness of life, it's turned out okay for me. And I know it's turned out okay for the other folks who I've supported. And that can be terrifying when we're in, like, I have to get things together to survive, right? And so I don't intend to whitewash that experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have had clients who are in war zones in Ukraine. I've had clients who are single parents with children who don't have enough money to pay rent yesterday and enough money to buy food today, right? Like I'm very familiar with real life scenarios where things feel very uncomfortable. So I'm not trying to give you some like, and every single one of those people I've worked with and there's been a lot of progress and a different way of being that comes online, but it's not like by bypassing and doing mantras and singing songs that don't address the core issues, right? That's exactly the opposite of it. And so what I'm saying is, like wherever you are, I feel you deeply, and it's not wrong, right? And we're going, hey, okay, let's meet you where you're at and figure out what's going on and support you to free yourself really. And to like really be able to come online and move through the world in the way that you deep down know you're capable of. Like every single one of us knows deep down what's possible, even if we're not prefrontal cortex aware of it, even if we can't imagine it. Like we cannot overestimate what we're capable of. We cannot overestimate what's possible for us. We can come up with our wildest fantasies, and it's like that's the peanut of what we really are, right? Like that's a tiny, tiny, tiny little concept compared to our true nature, which is unfathomable, literally. The mind cannot conceive of what we are. And so to your question, I might be on a little bit of a tangent here or some kind of transmission or something, I don't know. But to your question, absolutely. I know what hustling looks like. I know what grinding looks like. I know what drinking 3 pots of coffee a day looks like to make 400 cold calls doing sales in startup culture. I have pulled all-nighters. I have used Adderall and caffeine and other drugs and substances to keep myself propped up to maintain these ridiculous states that I just can't. And then used other things like marijuana or alcohol or whatever to try and self-soothe and balance out the instability of these things, right? And so I'm like, if you've used substances a lot, I feel you, me too. Like truly, we're not here to beat you up. And like you said, even in all that, I never made anything close to what I'm making now. Mm-hmm. Just chilling, relaxing. And that doesn't mean I don't do anything, but so much gets done from not doing. So much gets done from not doing. Like I've told you about this a lot, Dev, like sitting, being still and being in not doing. At some point, if you breathe through all the impulses that arise, at some point an impulse comes that's so strong it moves you. Mm-hmm. And that's creation itself that's moving us. And so that's how you can have this non-dual experience of doing without a doer and being without a beer, is you sink so deep into not doing, the stillness itself moves.
Yeah, buddy. Go, yeah. Dude. Oh my God. Y'all hearing this right now? Y'all taking notes out there? I'm going to put that at the beginning. Grab your notepad. Grab your notepad for this one, dude. Wow. I love that. I love that because often an experience I have is like, what should I do? Right? Mm-hmm. What's most mm-hmm. important? What's actually a priority? And so I would highly encourage you, and I'm excited to do this as well, to like actually sit and do this and really take note and pay attention to the impulses. And then it sounds like you'll know when that real strong impulse comes and you feel like you're being moved, you're being pulled versus pushing yourself to do something.
You got it. Yeah. I mean, just keep breathing through the impulses. And as long as they're coming from ego states or parts, as long as they're coming from parts, you're typically able to breathe through it. There'll be more non-symbolic energy underneath it, right? And you're just cultivating that non-symbolic aliveness. I don't know if this language is landing for people, but you just keep breathing through all the impulses. And then at some point, if you stick with it long enough, something will come along that's so strong that you can breathe. You can just keep breathing and it'll move you. It's like being a surfer on a wave. There's movement with no mover. And you'll know it when it happens because you're like, whoa, I don't even have control over what's going on right now. And it's like being on drugs, or it's like, you know, being in an uncontrollable orgasm, like, and you're just letting yourself be moved by life, by life. And so just think about the intelligence that you're teaming up with, the intelligence that created the multiverse, that's created planets, that's created rainforests, that's created 8 billion people. That's the thing moving you. Let that soak into your cells and inform what kind of business offering you make in the world. That's a big bang business. You heard it here first.
You don't know. Now you know. Forrest B. Wilson, dude, thank you so much. I'm feeling into my body. I'm ready to get some food in me, but thank you so much, dude, for carving out this time. And I don't even know what to say, man, but thank you so much for the transmission, dropping the knowledge and wisdom. And you're currently in Uvita. If you have the opportunity or the chance, I would go to Costa Rica and get in that residence field. You know, it's not a guarantee, but anyway, I can't highly recommend.
Yeah, and we're going all over the world this year.
That's right. That's right. Bali and Australia. Like, what do you have on the horizon one last time for people that are curious?
Yeah, so if anybody's listening and wants to plug in more, not just with me, but our whole ecosystem. Like I said, there's more and more people every day who are going, hey, you know, I'm in. Let's play life. Go to ouremergingfuture.com and join our WhatsApp group. Join our WhatsApp community. There's all kinds of different ways to get support in the WhatsApp community. Like I said, you can join Light in Action if you want. That's a little bit more of a formal container. But you'll hear, like, in the announcement thread and in all the different groups, you can see the incubator we're running in Australia, the events we're hosting in Europe. We're doing one in Mexico later in the year, doing one in Australia as well, in addition to the incubator. So we're going to be around the world this year in different places. Right now we're in Costa Rica, building hubs, supporting people embodying this way of being. And again, it's, we say we bring, we, we're merging the mystical in the marketplace, right? Like, we're taking the meditation game off the pillow and into the world. This is not just just like come to a retreat and we'll support you and then you got to go back to your life. This is like bringing the benefits of all these practices into practical, everyday, mundane life, right? Like the mystical of the mundane, how we interface with our day-to-day experience. So if you want to come be a part, you can come for a weekend, for a week, for a month, for a year, really. I mean, I've got one guy who's with me now who's been off and on over a year now. So yeah, come hang out, come be a part. I know you'll be here at some point, Dev.
I'm feeling it, man. I feel the Costa Rica is like, I feel it, dude. I'm feeling the pull for sure. So I think maybe even within this month, possibly, I'm really feeling that strongly.
For some reason, we got a little cut off there, but first I asked him to give his final 30-second speech, and it was basically thank you, feeling the love, and it's been fun. So simple message. Hey, if you found value in this, share with another guy, and I think this can really help a lot of men. So again, thanks to Forrest for coming on here and sharing those insights. And if you want to find out more about what he's up to, you can visit ouremergingfuture.com. We have a WhatsApp group available as well if you want to get involved in the ecosystem. And that's about it. Let's keep pushing on and developing this world that we want to live in. So thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next one. Feel free to visit devindimension.com as well. Take care. Much love.